I'm in. So yeah, Jamie kicked off our new series on fruitful lives and fruitful church. And so I happened to be on today's preaching rota when it was, they picked the date for Taylor. And I thought, I know what I'm going to speak about. Grow your own fruit in your lives and your family. So that's what I'm speaking about today. And grow your own. With that phrase, I always think of Granddad Smith, Gilbert. Remember Gilbert before he passed away? He was the world's best gardener. That guy could grow fruit and vegetables that tasted succulent. He was just amazing. He won awards, he got medals and all sorts of things. He was dedicated to that. And when he was getting a bit frailer, I used to go and try and help him and do the heavy, like the digging stuff like that. And then, because he loved his allotments too, and then he reduced it to one. And then when he got even frailer, I thought, oh, we thought, do you know, he loves his allotment so much, we'll take it on for him. So do you remember? Shona, Rachel, and I, and Alan, I think, came. We said, we're gonna do it for Gilbert. Oh my goodness. We're gonna do it for Gilbert. That soon went out the window, and we could not do it. Because, you know, being a grow your own person, it wasn't a case of just coming back through the door with his bag full of vegetables and his fruit, and it was a taste amazing. There was a lot of hard work went into growing that, and we just thought, oh, we'll just take on Dad's allotment. How hard can it be? It was awful. I don't know how many times you came. Twice? Once? I don't know. But I didn't last much longer than you guys because it was just ridiculous. Because I learnt at least two things about taking on Dad's allotment is one, you've got to be intentional, right? You've got to decide this is what you want to do. He got into loads of trouble with Dave's mom because he was out all the time at the allotment, but that's what he needed to do to grow his own. And the other thing, it requires commitment. Which is, I had commitment in my head, but I didn't have the time and I didn't have the back to be digging all this stuff. It took time and effort and commitment because it wasn't a case of just going, picking and going home and eating it. There was the planting, there was the weeding, there was the pests, there was the weather conditions. It was too dry, you had to water, it was too windy, you had to make sure it didn't blow over. Man, it was ridiculous. And I had new respect for Granddad Smith, because grow your own king, he put a lot of effort into it. And so in our new series of Fruitful Lives and Fruitful Church, I want to look how we grow our own fruit. And we can learn a lot by looking at a young man in the New Testament called Timothy. We encounter him first time in Acts chapter 6, where the Apostle Paul, the big spiritual church leader, he met Timothy in a place called Lystra. He was a young chap. He had a mother, Jewish believer, and his dad was Greek. Something happened there. Paul saw something in him. And so he got Timothy to accompany Silas, another mate, co-worker of his, and himself on missionary journeys. And eventually, he trusted him so much and he developed him so much, he called him his assistant. And then later on, he calls him a fellow worker, despite the fact that he was so young. In 1 Corinthians 4:17, it says, Paul says, I'm sending Timothy to help you. Now, if you know your Bible and Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, you know what a mess the church in Corinth was in, don't you? They were wild. So he sent Timothy to sort them out. What a responsibility. I'm sending him. He is my beloved and trustworthy child in the Lord, and he'll remind you of what I teach about Christ in all the church wherever I go. Paul also sent him, he must have done a great job in Corinth, because he also sent him to Thessalonica to sort and lead that church. Timothy, young man, co-authored the second letter to the Corinthians with Paul, because Paul writes, we are writing. This young guy is just figuring all over the place. And he also helped write letters to the church in Colossae and Thessalonica, two letters to them. He was involved in all of that. This guy was going places. Paul then writes two letters to him. I think he jolly well ought to. He sent him on these really big, heavy missions to these churches that need sorting out. He was only a young man, so he wrote to him twice. And in one of them, he says, you are my true child in the faith, my son, my dear son. And he also says in 1 Timothy 4:12, don't let anyone look down on you just because you are so young. Because I know what's in you. I know the mandate on your life. This is what I've sent you to do. Don't let people belittle you because you're so young. Paul trusted him. And then Hebrews 13:23, I've never read this before. I read the Bible all through the year, every year almost. But this just hit me. It just hit me. I've never seen this. Timothy, Paul says, he's now out of jail. So he got the rough with the smooth as well. He got chucked into jail, which Paul and Silas are quite obviously used to. But Timothy had a dose of living inside that prison as well, probably because of his faith. And he says he's now out, thank goodness. Wow, didn't Timothy grow from that first encounter with Paul? And he went on those journeys to being sent as Paul's ambassador. And if you read some of Paul's letters, you know how pretty strict and on the line he is. He must have trusted Timothy so much to send him on his behalf. Paul and others had to grow that young Timothy. And church, we are challenged to grow our own leaders, our workers, people who work involved in the ministry, in our community work. We can't just rely on them walking through the door, ready-made by a previous church. Although I'd just like to say we're very good at growing our own and exporting them ready-made to other people's churches. But we're not bitter, we're just invest. Yes, welcome home, do come back more. We're used to doing that, but we don't just rely on that. The Bible says we need to grow and develop our own leaders. And so, do you know what? We need to be intentional about that. It's going to take work. It's going to take commitment to help people grow. But the people that are going to grow sometimes don't see the potential in themselves. I'm sure Timothy never saw what Paul saw. And there are people, even in our church, who don't see their own potential. I warned Alison, she's out of the meeting, but I told her I'm going to mention her. If you told Alison 2 years ago that she was going to be leading services in Horizon, she would have gone, never. Isn't she great at it? She's a natural. She needed some confidence. She needed some, right, we believe in you. She got up. She trusted God. She's smashing it. Some of you life group leaders I've spoken to, life group leaders, you thought, oh, no, I can't do this. Yes, you can. And yes, you are. You're doing it really, really well. Some people involved in the worship team, all those level two people, hygiene people that think, oh, I can't do that. Yes, you have. Yes, you've done it. And you smashed it yesterday. People don't see the potential in them. Sometimes it takes other people to say, do you know what? You can do that. Shout out to Chris. He's not on the back at the moment. I thought he was on thingy today, but he's taken on the tech over there. It's fantastic. Seeing the potential in him. He's doing it. There's loads of people. I could keep you here all day telling you people. People have got potential, and sometimes we need to grow that potential in them, even if they can't see it themselves. And Dave and I have been in the ministry years, and we're still in it. And I could give you loads of examples about people who were taken, like you were just right off. But there's potential in them. I'm just going to pick three quick. One, a guy called Mark Russell. He was so keen to get in the youth group. He waited till the day he was 11 and he was there at the next youth meeting. And he went to the first youth weekend away. And he's so keen. You could see he's just keen. And he came up to Dave and said, can I help, Dave? Can I help? Can I help? And Dave said, yeah, you can. Go and clean all the toilets. This 11-year-old turned around and was going off to find toilet brushes and whatever. Cruel man. And he called him back and said, no, don't. He stopped him doing it. But I tell you what, we knew then we had a person with potential. If he was willing to go and clean the toilets because he was so desperate at a youth group, we knew we were onto a winner. He's now one of the pastors at New Life Christian Centre. I remember a young boy called Tony Lurie in my youth group. Oh, my goodness, he was there. I had to throw him out one Sunday morning. He was that disruptive, chucked him out, and then he went round the side to the window at the school and started creating mayhem then. He was dreadful, but he had a potential in him. He met God, and now he's organising adoption in Brazil in an accredited Assemblies of God missionary. He had potential. Somebody needed to grow him, to see in him, to trust him, to back him up, to keep pushing him forward, to pick him up when he's down and say, yes, you can, Tony. And that guy is dyslexic. He's doing his MA dissertation as we speak. People have potential, it just needs growing. And another guy, Dave Jane, he was from my youth group in Sutton Christian Centre. He was a naughty boy. And then God met him and changed him. And within about 3 weeks, he came to me and he said, I want to join this missions team, this Assemblies of God missions team that goes into schools. And I'm like, flipping heck, mate. You've turned your life around for 3 weeks and you think you can go and save the world. You are a risk, mate. I've got to at least have you in my youth group 2 years cleaning toilets to prove that you're actually going to stay the course. And God said to me, no, send him. So I signed his application, he went. He went to America eventually after he'd finished that. He started off the same organization in America. Then he planted his own church in Chicago and he's still there. Young people who had potential in them that somebody saw it in, took the risk and off they went. So let's look how we can grow others, right? And I would say to you, when you see someone try to do something or do something the first time, bless Angela, she's paid for drum lessons, she's buying herself her own kit. For goodness sake, she won't get it right all the time every week, but when she does, encourage her, will you? We can encourage people who are stepping out for the first time. Even if they fluff it all up, say, mate, you did it, you tried, come on, next time you can do it better than that. And we can encourage them to grow. So Timothy was mentored and trained by and discipled by Saul, Silas and Paul. They grew their own leader. That is only half the story. In fact, that's the second half of the story. The first half of the story is found in 1 Timothy, which the letters that we've already seen that Paul wrote to Timothy. And the second half of the story we've heard. But there was a glorious first half of the story. In 2 Timothy 1:5, get this. I know, says Paul to Timothy, that you're sincerely trusting in the Lord, for you have the faith of your mother Eunice and your grandmother Lois. Did you get that? I recognize that you've got the faith that was in your grandmother and your mother. And then in 2 Timothy 3:15, it says, you have been taught by grandmother and mother. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Jesus Christ. That is amazing. The first half of Timothy's life, unseen, undocumented, apart from those two references in the Bible, were down to his family, his parents, his grandmother. They're the people that saw him grow. They taught him the scriptures. They gave him the foundation. They put him in the right soul. They encouraged his faith. They encouraged him his confidence. So that when Paul came on one of his journeys, Timothy stood out. And Paul's like, something about that boy. And he saw that because his family had nurtured him to that point. Rachel and Alan have dedicated Taylor to God today and themselves to help raise him and direct him the way he should go. And we've all dedicated ourselves in that purpose as well. And godparents, I'd say to you guys, take your role seriously. Sometimes it's just a kind of, oh, we'll just pick nice, friendly people, you know, our best pals. They've picked you because you have personal faith. You have a heart for Taylor. You love the family, but actually your biggest criteria is you all love God and you're all serving God. It's your responsibility to help nurture Taylor along that route as well. You've been chosen for that purpose. So we too in Horizon have a responsibility, and Jesus welcomed children and he knew the potential that was wrapped up in them. And we too, as Horizon, would do well to recognize the same potential in our children towards the Horizon children that we've got. And there's just kind of three little things that I'd like to, points I'd like to make. The first is parents. I'd like to speak to parents. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, teach your children to choose the right path, and when they are older, they will remain on it. But they don't just get it. It says you have to teach it to your children. All parents have a responsibility to grow their children, look after them, but that includes their spiritual lives as well. Make sure you're planting them in the right soil and placing them in the environments they can thrive in. Now, at this point, I'd like to say, we're not just ensuring the ongoing life of Horizon by saying, Taylor, you know, come to Christ, whatever. You know, we're not into this a sect where we have to kind of, you know, keep the numbers going. We're saying, Taylor, we have met Jesus. We have been forgiven by Jesus. We have been purposed by Jesus. We are protected by Jesus. We are resourced by Jesus. It's amazing. We want that for you. We want the best for you. So we want to make sure you have the opportunity to seeing that Jesus, experiencing that Jesus, and then choosing to follow him yourself. So parents, here's just six quick things. Literally, you'll have to look it up yourselves. Firstly, scripture, like Lois and Eunice, the grandmother and mother of Timothy. Scripture, read your kids' Bible. I'm talking to all parents now. Read your kids, unless of course they've left home. Read your kids' Bible stories. Share with them what you're reading. I remember Marla's popping next to me on the sofa one day. What are you reading, Nan? I'm reading my Bible. Oh, what does it say? Thank goodness I wasn't reading something really blood-curdlingly thirsty or whatever. And I just picked the nicest bit that she'd understand and read that. And we just talked about it a bit. It's fantastic. Read scripture. Goodness, they're going to get taught stuff at school, but they won't get taught much scripture. And that's an RE teacher speaking. They won't get taught much scripture. The responsibility, parents, is ours to teach scripture. Timothy needed it. It was his foundation. They need it. Secondly, worship. Do they just hear worship at church, or are you playing it in your car, or at home, or are you singing it? What do you play them? Give them that environment. And when you are at church in worship, are you engaged in it, or are you on your phone playing Candy Crush? You know what I mean? Are you participating in that? Set the example. Thirdly, prayer. Pray with your kids. Pray for your kids. If you encounter a problem and they're old enough, say, I tell you what, we're going to ask Jesus about that. And get them, point them to Jesus and say, let's pray about that together. And you know what? When you have answers to your prayers, for goodness sake, share that with your kids. You know, we prayed about this, and this is what God's done, because it's instilling that faith all the time. I remember my parents doing that with me when they had big decisions to make. It's amazing. It teaches you to take your problems to God. Fourthly, church. If you want to, oh dear. If I offend anyone, I apologize now. Tough. If you want to see your kids thriving in church, you need to bring them. As Ian Green would go. Just a thought. If you don't know Ian Green, he will be here soon. But do you know, I've had people, dear people, say to me, oh, I'd love my child to be in the youth group and look at your children and your grandchildren and whatever. I'd love them to be like that. And I'm thinking, well, I don't just think it, I say it if they say it to me. Get to church yourself and bring them then. And I'm not talking about, I haven't got time to explain all that stuff, but I'm not talking about dragging adolescents against their will. I'm talking about our children that come, that see this as their home, that get involved in worship, that love the church. Honestly, if your child doesn't come to church, it's probably because you're not. For goodness sake, bring them. Stick them in that environment. They will grow. So, serving is another one. If you do it, they will follow. I love my chair putter outers and whatever's Marla and Taylor. They come early because they have to, because their mum, if we bring them, they're coming early. They just didn't go and get involved in setting up. If they see you do it, they will do it. And then giving, you know, why not next time you're the supermarket, take something off the shelf, explain to your child, there are people in Sutton that haven't got enough food, so we have food banks. Our church gives food to food banks. Let's choose an item, put it in our basket, and then on church we're going to bring it and we're going to put it in the food box bank. Food bank box. Okay, I'll put my Danishes back in. Or, do you know what I mean? Maybe you're blessed with extra, something extra happened, and you say to your child, look, here's a pound. When the offering thing come around on Sunday, we're going to thank God for that extra blessing we've had this week. You put that in the offering. Do you know what I mean? It's not just what goes in your bank account or whatever. The kids don't know about all that. We're going to teach them and ground them and grow them. Why not get them involved in giving? So we can see that Timothy's family set him up for great things. Without their early vital nurturing, Paul would have not taken him on because he wouldn't have seen the potential. Parents are important. Family are important. Friends are important. Grandparents and great-grandparents are important in kids' lives. And the second one is church. We are important, guys. We need to teach our children and young people. We have a vital part to play in growing those kids out there too. Our kids' ministry, I must say at the minute, and youth ministry is pretty stretched, okay? I think these ministries should be in the position to be actually overrun with people trying to get on the rota, on the ministry team, because there's a generation out there that need to be taught scripture, that need to be loved and encouraged and grown. And if you, you know, maybe you want to be a part of that. Maybe you think, oh, I don't know, they could do it. Ask to go in one week and see how it's done, and then maybe volunteer. I've just volunteered for the kids' teams. I'm practicing what I preach when I'm not leading, when I'm not speaking, and when I am here, don't comment, then I'm on the team because I know the importance of those children being given the correct teaching and given opportunity to find God for themselves. So, and thirdly, soil. We've got soil up there. Yeah, great soil. Do you know, the soil you grow in is crucial to the health of a plant or a person. Right? You have rubbish soil, they're not going to thrive very well. Some of us have had a rich soil to grow in, spiritual soil. Others haven't at all. You may not have had a huge spiritual inheritance in your family. You know, your parents and grandparents and whatever, maybe not Christians. But I'd like to tell you that God is your father. That's why he saved you and brought you into his family. He is your inheritance, and they don't come better than that. So you don't need a family history of Christians. You just need to know God for yourself. He is your inheritance. And I'd say that as a positive. I am starting my inheritance right now. I'm the only person in my family that's a Christian. The inheritance starts with me. I'm paying it forward. You see, Dave didn't have any spiritual inheritance to speak of in his family. But God saved him, God called him, and Dave became the gateway for his family spiritual inheritance. His parents got saved because he found faith. And now he's passing that on to his children and his grandchildren. But Dave happened to marry into a spiritual heritage that served to add fertilizer to this soil. I'd like to tell you just briefly what Taylor is inheriting. My spiritual heritage, my great granny Sheen, there she is, bless her, and my granddad Sheen. Now, my granny Sheen, which is on my mum's side, was housekeeper to Charles Spurgeon. Anybody heard of him? Methodist preacher. In fact, she moved to Nottingham. Baptist. And she was so good at her job, she moved with him to Nottingham when he moved. So she was his housekeeper. My grandmother, that's then when they were younger, and that's Andrew in the middle, with granddad's scarf and flat cap on, right? But my grandmother, that's my mum's mum, was prophesied over by Smith Wigglesworth.
Who?
Right, who? Bradford lad. He was a guy who was filled with the Holy Spirit and started praying for people, and people got healed and stuff. He is a founding father of the Pentecostal movement, of which we are now a part of. My grandmother was prophesied over by Smith Wigglesworth, and she started a Pentecostal church with another lady. She started it in her front room, which they later hired a room over a co-op and eventually moved into a new purpose-built church building, which is still going strong today. That's my grandmother. My great-granddad, Sheen, that was on the thing before, he was the first elder of that new church. And in 1946, my granddad, my nana's husband, became the pastor of that church up until 1986. My grandmother was a popular speaker in women's meetings around the area in various churches and various denominations. A bit closer to home, my parents. My mum and dad were youth leaders, Sunday school teachers, leading services in elderly care homes, and they were also church leaders of a couple of churches. We got married. Ooh, didn't know I was as slim as that, did you? No. We got married, it's the top left, right? I mean, the top right of the left one. That's the notice board. That's Welling Lane Gospel Church. That is the church that my nana founded, my nana and granddad built, and I got married in that church. Yes, and it's still going strong today. But do you know what? Just like the allotment I took on from Gilbert, I can't just admire the rich soil that I'm planted in. I can't take it for granted. I can't just go and harvest the fruit without putting in the effort, being intentional, and spending time doing that. I was given a great start. Dave didn't have that, but he's found God, and that's where inheritance for his family starts. He's spearheading that. I'm in a rich soil of, can you see some of the family characteristics coming through on my side? Yeah, there you go. Blame the genes, that's all I can say. Don't like my preaching, blame the genes. But I couldn't just kind of, oh great, I've been planted in that and sit back and watch the fruit to come. No, I've been given a great start and some great examples to follow, but I needed to take responsibility to grow my own fruit, both in my life, my ministry and my family. And I love seeing Taylor sitting on the front row, tapping his feet, slapping his thighs to the drums, eyes fixed on those musicians. He's got music in his blood, in his genes, but he's got music in the house as well. And he is there, and he's loving that worship. I love it when Marla's sitting in the front row singing her heart out, and now she's learned to read, she's picking off the words in there, and she's singing them. I love it, because they're planted in the house. This is the soil that they're in. They're gonna grow in that house. And I love seeing them like that. I've got three lively grandsons in Manchester who are solidly planted in that ridiculously huge mega church up there, finding their place and doing their stuff and getting involved, being on car park attendance in the pouring rain with their dad. They're learning it. They're planted in the soil. They'll be growing. But you know, as a grandparent, I take my responsibility seriously about the spiritual growth of my grandkids. I am determined to keep growing my own. I thank God for my spiritual inheritance from my family, from the church I grew up in, but I am still looking to grow my own fruit in my personal life, in my family, and in my church, which is why we haven't moved to Eastbourne. Linda. So, as I close, application, grow your own. One, to grow your own, you need to be intentional and committed. Grow yourself and then grow others. Secondly, children and young people are our responsibility to grow into all that God has planned for them. We have a huge part as parents, grandparents, and I love to see, Jackie, you bringing your grandson. Good on you. Your spiritual inheritance there, it's starting right there. And it'll go backwards, but it's starting right there. Good on you for bringing him. That is his spiritual inheritance. You are. And one day, you know, he might look back in his testimony of doing whatever. My grandma used to take me to church and I found Jesus and look where I am today. You do not know the impact you're having bringing your grandchild to church. Well done, you. We have a part to play as a church family. Thirdly, are you the first Christian in your family? Then celebrate and embrace that. Don't feel like a second-class system. I'm trying to do it really fast because I know it's late. Citizen, you're not a second-class spiritual citizen, right? You need to see yourself as the spearhead, the spiritual inheritance for your family. You are blazing a trail that your rest will follow and will be blessed from. Parents, let's grow strong and confident followers of Jesus who are firmly planted in his church following your example. And church, Who and what are you and we growing in Horizon? Are we growing people? How are you growing? And what is God saying about the next phase of your growth and how you're going to help Horizon grow? When we grow our own, fruit will come, and it will be fruit that lasts. Oh, and if you wanted to expand your horizon outside of your family and outside of Horizon, Matthew 28:19 is a good verse for you. Jesus commands us to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. So growing your own in other countries is permitted and encouraged, okay? Let's just pray, shall we, as we close. And I just want you to be aware that you're sitting in God's potting shed, in his presence right now. It's like his potting shed. And as I've spoken, you may have different things that God has prompted you with. Maybe you think, oh, I need to step up my prayer for my kids or my grandkids. Maybe I need to take seriously about helping the youth and children in this church. Maybe it's all sorts of other things. Maybe it's stepping up to stuff in your life so that you set an example. We're just in God's potting shed now, and just let the Holy Spirit confirm those things he's saying to you. Thank you, God, that you see potential in everyone, even if we can't see it in ourselves. And I do pray that you'll help us grow ourselves. You help us grow this church, but we'll grow our own leaders. We'll grow those precious children and young people that belong to our church. God, give us whatever is needed, whether it's money, buildings, whether it's people, whatever it is. We want to have facilities that are good for them, not just kind of make do. God, we're praying that as we grow our own, we will have all that we need to grow those young people into future leaders. So please, take this word, Lord. Don't allow it to be snatched away from us, but help us to take what you've spoken to us today, and I'd encourage you all to visualize what God has challenged you with and making a hole in some good soil, putting it in there, make sure you water it, make sure you grow it, in Jesus' name. Amen.